Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Vicky. That's Vicky's newest creation. Beautiful. Let's pray, please. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for those who came out this morning to hear from you. The words of life from the light of life, Jesus Christ. Not the words of a man or a pastor, but the words of the man Christ Jesus, the Master. May we hear from him. May we take heed to his word. May we seek wisdom, because it's the most important thing. We pray these things, commit this time to you, and pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. Amen. On the title of the message today, The Wonderful Wisdom of God. Sounds like the Wonderful Wizard of Oz, doesn't it? But it's not. If ever a whiz there was, God is a whiz. Wisdom. He is wisdom. Sunday, August 9th, 2015. Proverbs 3. We're attempting to do a chapter each session. So you have to really pay attention. You get hit every which way. And in the end, you might be bloody and battered, but you'll have fine salvation for your soul. And the secret to happiness. Proverbs 3:1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. See, you can neglect some things, but not one thing. There's one thing you cannot neglect. What you do is up to you. There are a wide variety of options in life. But whatever you do, make sure you do not forget to get the word into your soul. Don't forget to stand front and center each morning as soon as you rise and present your body to God for the renewing of your mind. That is for renewed mercy, renewed desire, and to acquire the necessary appetite for the word. It's an acquired appetite. And its desire comes in the midst of your presentation, not before. You wake up and you go, oh, no, I don't want to do anything. I just want to go back to bed. Get that coffee going. Nah. There's something more important than that, even. It's the word. Make sure you find it and eat it. Eat a big breakfast. That's how you start your day the right way. Anything else that you do first will delay. And you might even forfeit a blessing. Because the blessedness is in the word, and if you have it in your soul, then you're a target for a blessing, God's blessing. Because he blesses faith wherever he finds it. And the word is the object of faith. So, verse 2, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. See, now you get, if you do both, then you get both. That is, let me start over with that one. If you do these, you get both. If you don't, you get neither. That's what it is. What's that? Length of days and peace. What you get instead, without the word, is a lot of self-induced misery, divine discipline, and if you persist, early dismissal from life. The wordless believer is worthless to man and useless to God. So he's not going to stay around. Verse 3, do not let kindness, that's grace, kesed in the Hebrew, and truth leave you. Don't let grace and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Here he's telling us to be bound to the word by our will. That's what the neck is. It's the inclination of the soul. Jim's neck's been hurting him for some time, and I filmed this because he's a stiff-necked man. He said, no. He said, yes, I am. That's the reason. Stiff neck. Like God said, you're a stiff-necked people. That means that you're so willful. You're a strong-willed child. They're going to beat you like a red-headed stepson. Do not let kindness, grace, and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. That is, bound to the word by will, bound to the word by love. That's the matter. That's a matter of the heart, love. Bound by the ear, pierced with the awl. Remember? The slave that was set free, if he loved his master and chose rather to serve him, he would go back and present himself, and he would take that slave and put his ear against the doorpost of his home and pierce his ear through with an awl. Which means that our devotion to the Lord and our love for him is our devotion to him by our ear. To hear what he says. To hear the Lord. To hear the still small voice of the Spirit. To hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Choosing to live and serve our kind master. Not because we have to. He's not satisfied with that. But because we love him. The one who loved us first demonstrated that love inarguably and without any doubt or question when Christ died as our substitute. Though worthless and resistant and rebellious we were, he died for us so that we might turn around and have salvation, so that he might give us what he longed to give us, which is the complete and beautiful, blessed life of Jesus Christ. And suffering here, but glory there. So what do? We can limit our freedom for love. That's what we do when we get married. We limit our freedom for love. We don't do what we want to do anymore. If you love somebody, then you have their interest at heart, more so than your own. And you think about them often. Our love for him is wanting to please him because we are grateful. Not because we're trying to be good, but because we're grateful, we honor God. And then we become like Christ in a small measure, like Ricky sang about this morning. His highest and best is Jesus Christ. And he was grateful, graceful, and gracious. Never was there one so gracious. He was filled to all fullness with grace and truth. He wants us to be like his son. He predestinated you for that purpose, to be conformed to the image of his son. So all you do is cooperate and present yourself for that purpose. Verse 4, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and men. See, the wordless are worthless, like I said, to man, and useless to God. Those who continue to gather together in voluntary humility, grow in wisdom and stature, and favor with God and men. You know who that was said about? Christ. as a young person. Luke 2:51, after his parents lost him for 3 days at the Passover when they went to Jerusalem and found him in the temple instructing the priests, who were just amazed, their jaws were hanging open, they were so amazed at the things that this 12-year-old boy knew. And it says in 2:51, after they found him and they went home, it says he went down with them and came to Nazareth, that's where they lived, and he continued in subjection to them, his parents. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with men. Why? Because of the great wisdom that was his. He applied his heart to wisdom. He sought it as a child. Children can be very wise, and adults, even old people, can be very foolish, stupid. So, here's the way of wisdom. This is how wisdom works. The only way it works. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You have to have a heart filled with love, and he pours out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We go from faith to hope to love. Love is the objective, always the goal. You know, that's the goal of all biblical instruction. 1 Timothy 1:5. Love from a pure heart. Whoever keeps his word keeps on taking it in. Keeps it, guards it from loss. In this one, the love of God, from God, for God, is fully developed. And you know what fully developed love does? It evicts all fear. Yes, it does. So you won't be afraid anymore. Fear God, and all other fears go away. You'll be fearless and faithful to boot. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. I wonder how many people have taken this under advisement. Don't lean on your own understanding. Well, whose am I going to lean on? On the understanding provided by God. The true interpretation of Scripture, taught by the Spirit. So that you might know something, even as God knows it, ever increasingly understand the words and the ways of wisdom. We don't rely, according to this passage, on reason or common sense. You say, well, of course you do. No, not to the exclusion of wisdom. We rely on wisdom and we lean on love. Those are far higher. Those are on a much higher plane. We have to put all of our eggs in one basket. You know, you say, well, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. I'm putting all my eggs in God's basket. Because who's greater? And where do I have, or where do I find more gracious options than with the Lord? All that he does is good. And every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. There's no negatives at all. And every promise of God is yes and amen. By us to the glory of God. Not yes and no, like everything else. No uncertainty to it at all. God only does good. God is great. No, God is good. God is great. I thank you, Lord, for what's on my plate. No, that's not how it goes, is it? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. He is good. And he does good. He is kind, but he's also severe. He can be severe and kind. Behold, both the kindness and the severity of the Lord. Romans 11:22. He's kind toward those who believe in him, who trust in him, who lean on him, but he can be severe with those who resist him, rebel against him, and refuse to take what he's giving. They just don't like him because they're not going to let anybody control them. And yet they're controlled by everything and everybody. They pride themselves in being independent, but they're not independent. They're weak-willed, half-hearted, vacillating. They change every day. Every day they change. They go back and forth, up and down on the roller coaster of emotion. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. If you go real high, you're going to go really low. You're going to go that low. If you go that high, you're going to go that low. And your life's going to be a long, slow crawl over crushed beer bottles, whiskey bottles, where? They still make syringes out of glass? No. They're plastic. Over plastic, shards of plastic from hypodermic needles. Live and die in a stupor without any reality in their soul. You got to put all your eggs in God's basket. It's the only game in town. No other game. It's not a game. It's life and death. We need to be determined, according to this passage, that is to rely on God. Decisive, that is to rely on God. And diligent, urgent, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And to make the most of each day. Each day. How do you do that? And what's the result? Oh, you'll live large, you'll live long, according to Proverbs. And you'll live well. Well. In every way. Verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Not some. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. So, the word here is yada, for acknowledge, yada, yada, you know, yada, 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 that's what the word of God sounds like to people who aren't really interested in it, who don't hear it often enough to get any continuity, any real understanding, even small increments of it, and their rate of forgetting far exceeds their rate of learning, so they don't hear it often enough, and they take in all kinds of other junk that pushes it up. So, the word yada is the same word that's used in the New Testament for confess, like your sins, confess your sins. So, that's what yada is. It is acknowledging Him in everything. Relying upon Him for everything. Acknowledging Him as the source of your blessing, your provision, and live large. Live wise. Have a wise life. And like it says in Ephesians 5:15, stop being stupid. That's what it says. It says, be not unwise. It means stop being stupid. So, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. We confess our sins. Here's what we do. All our eggs are in one basket. We confess our sins to Him, our failures. We cast our cares upon Him. We commit our way to Him, and we cleave to Him. Cleave to Christ. Think His thoughts. Speak His words. And speak to your own soul. The words of peace, words of power, words of life. You'll help yourself and heal yourself. Why art thou disquieted within me, O my soul? Trust thou in God. There's good advice. That's what wisdom does. It speaks to you. Whispers in your ear. Psalm 139:23. Here's the prayer of David, the famous prayer of David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Because I don't know it. You do. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any harmful way. In me, and then lead me in the everlasting way. That's where I want to go, in the everlasting way. He'll make my path straight. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear any evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff are the word of God, the Spirit of God that leads us into all truth. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Wise guys. Don't be a wise guy by being wise in your own eyes. But fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That means don't think that you're wise unless you turn away from evil. Isaiah 5:21, woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. They're just thrilled with their own cleverness. And they really think they're something when nobody's anything. And they deceive themselves. Rather, be filled, be taught, be led by the Holy Spirit. Follow His lead. As believers, that's the message of God. Follow the leading of the Spirit. What's the leading of the Spirit? He leads by strong impression based upon the Word of God. He brings the Word back, and you know where to go, what to do, what to choose. He sets it before you very clearly. Those who rely on Him make good decisions. Those who don't make bad ones because they're getting bad advice, bad counsel. We are to be taught and led by the Spirit. See, God is in you, isn't He? He said He is. God is with you. He said He is. And God is for you. So who can be against you? No one's greater than Him. And He'll protect you every step of the way. You can be bold and courageous. You can be decisive and determined to live out this life and to glorify God. And in the end, share in the glory of Jesus Christ for all eternity, where it really means something. Down here, people don't get it. They don't even get an inkling of it. And so, therefore, they don't see it as being real or important. And it's both real and important. It's real important. More so than anything else. Therefore, it says in Proverbs 4:7, which we're coming to, the beginning of wisdom is get it. It says, wisdom is the most important thing. And if it costs you everything you have, get understanding. It'll save you lots of time. For time and eternity. And save you from great loss. The great stakes that exist for loss and gain. Not for time, which is just a little vapor and disappears, but for all eternity, that's a never-ending day. Don't you want to have something there instead of nothing there? Because you can go there and have nothing. You know that? Go there and have nothing. Because everything you did here that would give you something there was not qualified. It didn't stand. It didn't pass muster. It didn't pass the qualification of fire because it was made out of wood, hay, and stubble rather than gold, silver, and precious stones, which are not able to be burned but only purified by fire, versus that which is completely devoured by it. And that's man's works versus the work of God. See, gold, silver, and precious stones is that which God produces in you while you live on earth by pressure, heat, and time. Real gems, as far as He's concerned, that will be valued at the Bema judgment seat of Christ, where you will receive a portion of what belongs to Christ. And all things belong to Him, all things are given to Him. And sharing His glory, His honor, His pleasure, and His authority forever and ever. So you have to know God is in you, God is with you, and God is for you. Psalm 5:8, O Lord, lead me in your righteousness because of my enemies. make your way straight before me. Psalm 25:5, lead me in your truth and teach me. You are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. He's not leaning on his own understanding. He's not trusting in man, trusting in institutions, trusting in technology. No, he's trusting in the Lord. Trusting in human knowledge, scholarship, human wisdom of any kind, because human wisdom isn't wisdom at all, because if it was, then it wouldn't change. And they wouldn't say one week, you don't eat eggs, and then the next week say, eat all the eggs you want. Don't eat salt. Then they say, salt won't hurt you. You better eat some more salt. Well, whatever it is. One week aspirin's good for you, it'll keep your blood flowing. Next thing you know, they're telling you that it causes inflammation, which attracts to the veins and arteries plaque to mask that inflammation. And don't let them put you on Coumadin because it's rat poison. That's what it is. Same chemical constitution as rat poison. So what man does has more harmful side effects than what God does. Of course it does. But than the benefits it provides. So be very cautious. Be wise in those areas. In Psalm 27:11, he says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path. I don't want to be up and down. I want to be on a level path. I want to be consistent. And I want to be on an even keel. I don't want to be high or low. Too high or too low. I want to have stable joy and presence of mind in all circumstances and situations. Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means restrain us when we face temptation. Strengthen us so that we can resist temptation. And deliver us as a result from evil. Psalm 43:3 says, O send your light and your truth. Let them lead me. What leads you? Light and truth. Light and truth. That is, seeing the truth. Understanding the truth. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. You've got to show me the truth. You've got to shine your light on it so I can see it. And enable me to see it. Understand it. Let me bring to your holy hill. Right. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. That is, I want to be as close as I can be. Psalm 61:2, from the end of the earth I call to you. When my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am, so I can look up to where my salvation comes from. My salvation is from the Lord. Psalm 139:10, that we just looked at briefly, says, even there, this is a different verse. Even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. It doesn't matter where you're at, what situation, what location. God's not limited at all. And see, then he says, and try my heart. Search me, O Lord. See if there be any hurtful way in me. That's the one we read. Lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Lead the way, so that I'm not led astray. Lead me to green pastures beside still waters in the paths of righteousness, Psalm 23. That's what our good shepherd does. We follow his lead. Anoint my head with oil. That's what we need. The anointing with oil is the anointing that abides. That is the anointing and the flowing of the oil of the Spirit lubricates your life and burns hot so that you don't burn out. Plug along. Find your pace in the race, but don't go too fast. Don't sprint. Because you will continue. Just find your pace in the race. And keep on plugging, because God loves a plugger. and he brings them along. The race isn't to the swift, it's to the steady. And people try to go so fast, they go from point A, try to go from point A to point B, which takes time and experience. And they try to do it in a day, in a week, in a month. That which can only be done in a decade or a half century. And guess what? They don't make it. And they end up peeling off, bailing out, before they made any progress. Yet they tried to get there all at once. Instant gratification. That's the benchmark of our culture today. You want instant gratification. You want to change overnight. You can't change overnight. It took you a long time to get screwed up. How long do you think it's going to take you to get fixed? How long do you think it's going to take to change your thought patterns? And what it's going to take for you to change your thought patterns? It's probably going to take a lot of pain and suffering. That's the only way we change our minds. We're not led by the Spirit. We're led by pain and pleasure. That's what leads us. Pain and pleasure. If that were to be led by the Spirit. So the Lord might just speak His word and we will respond. Instead of beat us like a mule and put a bit and bridle in our mouth. Or else we won't come near Him. He says, don't be like the mule that you got to beat for him to come near you. But let me guide you with my eye. He just wants to show you so he can show you what it says in the Word so you can respond to it by faith. Be blessed in all that you do. That's pretty reasonable, don't you think? That he wants to bless you in all that you do for his glory? Because only faith pleases him. And that's all you have. Just a little bit of strength. A little bit of self-determination. Just enough ability to present yourself, that is, in continuous willingness. That's all you can do. Availability. Not ability, but availability. That's all you have. That's all you have to give God. Time and availability. That's it. Nothing more. He doesn't want anything else, because you don't have anything else to give. And he said, I'll do the rest. I started it, and I'll finish it. I begun a good work, and I'll finish it. I'll perform it to the day of Christ Jesus. He wants to will and work, motivate, and then accomplish in you the thing he requires of you. How gracious is our God! And yet we resist him as though he's a tyrant. And he's no tyrant. Not at all. He just loves us too much to let us go our own way into headlong into self-destruction. Oh, he may take you to the brink, but if he brings you back, don't go there again, because he'll let you go off the cliff. You say, how many chances do you get? I don't know. Depends on what what he sees in your heart. This might be your last chance. Who knows? God knows. You don't. So I wouldn't trifle with him. So, you need to stay filled up at all times. Filled up with what? Your own thoughts? No, but God's word. God's wisdom. And if you're filled up, you're never fed up. In other words, I quit. I'm done. Filled up with the Spirit, with love, with truth. And as a foundation, gratitude. That's all. You really do appreciate. You've recognized and appreciated all the things that God's done for you. You're growing in your gratitude. That's what it means to grow in grace. 2 Peter 3:18. And if you're growing in those things and you're filled to all fullness with these things, there's no stopping your progress. Although, you must know that most stop at some point. They draw a line. They say, I'm not going any further. And, unfortunately, it is always just a bit too soon, just before they break through. That's the problem. So next time you feel like quitting, backing up, backing off, remember, you're just about to break through. Don't stop now. You're too close. See, just before the dawn breaks, you know what happens? The day star arises in your heart. You'll have a clear vision of Jesus Christ, one you've never had before. And you'll have a new reality regarding the person of Christ, and that will motivate you like nothing else will, nothing else can. I always say, hang in there, kitty. You want to see that poster? You got the cat hanging on something, like on the curtain or whatever? Hang in there, kitty! Whatever you do, don't give up your turf, your armor, your shield, or your crown. Press on. Hosea 6:3. Let us press on to know the Lord. Press on, press through. His going forth is certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain, watering the earth. Philippians 3:12. Paul says, not that I've already attained or have already become perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. I want to understand and appropriate the full reason why he laid hold of me in the first place. Why he chose me. Verse 14, Paul says, of Philippians 3, says, I press on toward the goal of the prize. He's looking for a prize. What's the prize? The rewards of eternity. Of the upward summons or call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the call of Christ-likeness. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Spiritual growth to maturity or adulthood. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That should be in the foundation. You're not going back there and looking at that again and again and again and again. Although it takes a long time for that to sink in, sink down deep. So, that's the way of wisdom. Here's the wisdom for wellness, see? The wonderful wisdom of God has many facets. Wisdom for wellness, verse 8. It will be healing to your body. And renewal, refreshment to your bones. These are among the promises and guarantees of wisdom, even to wholeness and wellness of body and bones. You mean even my weary old bones? And this broken down, breaking down, decomposing body? Well, this is the promise of Christ to the disciple who lives on the Word and not by bread alone. To these he promises that they'll live well and that they'll die well. It's just as important to die well as it is to live well. If one finds the path of life and follows it to the end, he'll live by grace and die with grace. He has the guarantee of Jesus Christ that he'll neither see nor taste death. I like that. So then what's there to be afraid of? If his word is true, unless Jesus is lying, which I don't think he can. I know he can't. John 8:51 says, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death. That means you won't experience death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. That's not something you want to say to Jesus. Abraham died and the prophets also, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never taste death. No, he tasted death for every man by the grace of God, drank it to its dregs. So that's wisdom for wellness and wisdom for wealth. So what kind of wealth? Real wealth. Not the kind that comes and goes. Not the kind that entices you to leave the plan of God, the righteousness of God, to pursue fleshly desire, no. But wisdom is for wealth. Honor the Lord from your wealth. He gave it to you anyway. And from the first of all your produce, you give back to the Lord. Your offerings of gratitude and thanksgiving. That's the only motive. That's the only motive that's acceptable to Him in giving. So if you give grudgingly, don't give at all. We don't want grudge money. Blood money. Because it's like ripping, it's like pouring out your blood to give anything to anybody. I know people like that. They're very wealthy. I mean, they're going to stay that way because they ain't going to give nobody nothing. But that's just going to diminish their wealth. And the quality of life. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So then give me everything you have. Give me what's in your wallet. Well, guess what's in my wallet? Nothing. Silver and gold only. But, like Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I have I'll give you. Greater wealth, greater riches in Jesus Christ than any riches that the world has to offer. So he says here in Proverbs 10, so your barns may be filled with plenty. What does he say? He says, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. Is he talking about a tithe? In Israel he is, but he's talking about free will offering in the New Testament. So your barns will be filled with plenty. What does that mean? I'm not talking about planting a seed as such, although it's a true principle in some respects, but they take it way too far, and that's all they teach about because all they think about is money, and we rarely talk about it, except to say we don't have any. Would you loan me some? I'm kidding. To the bank. Don't do that. Don't neither borrower nor lender be. Who said that? Poor Richard. He's poor. Poor Richard in his almanac. Benjamin Franklin, who was poor Richard, really, was not without resources. He was a wealthy man. So he says, give to the Lord from your produce and honor the Lord from your wealth so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. See, you can't outgive God. You know that, don't you? You can't outgive Him. You can cast your bread upon the water, it will return to you in not too many days, and it will be pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And men will pour it into your bosom. It doesn't come from heaven. A bag of money doesn't drop on you. But people actually give it to you. Why? Oh, because they like you. Because God told them to. That's why. And that's His plan. His word never falls to the ground. You'll never be disappointed if you trust in Him. Do what He says. Try me, He says, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too great for you to contain. That means it'll spill out all over the place. Is it about money? No, it's about your heart. Because He doesn't want your money, He wants your heart. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So that's the wisdom for wealth. Giving and receiving. How about the whippings of wisdom? That's next. You know, this is the wonderful wisdom of God. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom He delights. How blessed is the man who by the Lord's chastening, by the Lord's discipline, finds wisdom. And the man who, as a result, gains understanding. So much that we do is for vainglory, calling attention to ourselves, when we should always and only be giving our undivided attention to the Lord, which results in bringing attention to His glorious purpose and His glorious person, His Son, Jesus Christ. See, but I'm with you. You guys, it seems to me that I'm with Jesus Christ. because I see Christ in you. And I believe the Word of God. Christ is in each one. So you're a body part of His. So therefore, may the Lord Himself be between me and thee. Christ in me, Christ in you. You're a portion of Christ. I need it, you need mine. So then we have the worth of wisdom next. All W's. What else are you going to put? What other adjectives are you going to use with wisdom except adjectives that start with W? The worth of wisdom. For her profit, what you gain from her is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. You say, well, I'd like to try the silver and gold aspect. No, it's better. You know why? Because it doesn't run out, because happiness doesn't depend on it at all, because you can't buy it. The silver or gold. What wisdom has to offer, you have to buy it without money. You have to invest time and availability. Time and interest. Time and positive willingness. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. That is the result of having wisdom and living by wisdom. For time and eternity. Long life is in her right hand. Here we go, long life again. Must be a blessing to live long. And it must not be to die young. Lest God takes you out of the way of misery and trouble that He sees coming down the pike and you don't. To spare you misery. Or to spare other people from the misery you cause. That can happen. Yes, it can. In her right hand is life. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. See, sometimes I say, I'm fed up with this life. And I've been convicted by my saying that I'm fed up. And fed up with life and with people. Even with myself. I'm a person. When God has given us the promise of long life and continuous progress for His glory. So don't want to die. Don't say, I'm tired of living. And we groan in these bodies, but the plan of God is perfect, and He's the one who chooses when you die. The time, place, and manner of your death. Your live birth in human history and the time, manner, and place of your death. And you make all the other decisions in between. I hope they're wise ones. Verse 17. Her ways are pleasant. All her paths are peace. That sounds good to me. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. And happy are all those who hold her close. It's like a woman. It's an analogy of a woman. Her name's Sophia. Sophia is the Greek word for wisdom. Her name's Sophia. She's a beautiful woman. So, hold her close. Next we have the world created by wisdom, which means that everything holds within it intrinsically a message of wisdom and is an illustration. Everything created is an illustration of God's wisdom. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies drip with dew. All that God created is illustrative, or illustrative, as they say, of the wisdom that we are called to have. And whole wisdom is everywhere you look, in everything you see. The world and everything in it shines forth God's wisdom. And God's power. Romans 1:20, since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through that which has been made, so all men are without excuse. Next we have the walk of wisdom. This is how you walk around in wisdom. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. This is what you do every single day. You walk around, conduct your life. Stay alert, stay focused on the Word. Keep on gaining greater wisdom as you go. And it says, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. You'll be saturated with it, and it will be oozing out of every pore. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. Not wandering aimlessly, not killing time. Hanging out, as they say, or hanging around. Rather, gainfully engaged in what? Acquiring wisdom. That's what you're here for. So what do you want more than anything else? Good question? Yeah, I'm not asking you to so you'll answer me. Answer God. What do you want more than anything else? Friends? Good health? Honor or wealth? You can only gain these by wisdom. That's it. Wisdom is seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which bestows favor, riches, and life. Shalom to you. That means, you say, well, that means peace, right? It means more than that. It's the common greeting of the Hebrew culture, wishes for each one wellness of spirit, soul, and body with prosperity in every realm of life. That's what it means. Only wisdom, God's wisdom, produces and provides shalom. It's fitting for the one that asked for wisdom to be called Shalomon, Solomon, which means peace, prosperity, fullness of blessing. That's what his name meant. From God. What he did after he asked for it, asked for wisdom, is another matter altogether. Though by wisdom his accomplishments were great and his glory incomparable, he left the pursuit of wisdom and sought wealth, women, and worldly pleasure. And in the end was stripped of everything as discipline for neglecting wisdom. The will of God is wisdom. The word of God is wisdom. Therefore, get the word and get wisdom. Verse 24, when you lie down, you will not be afraid. These are the benefits of wisdom. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. You may not get much of it, but it'll be sweet, that which you get. And it'll be just enough to energize you, enough to strengthen you, so that you can just keep pressing on. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. Even when it comes near, it won't touch you. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. I like that promise. By wisdom, you're bulletproof and unafraid. The Lord is your confidence, faith is your shield, and fear is far from you. The wicked flee when no one chases, it says in Proverbs, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. There are four prevalent characteristics that are found in those who have wisdom as their ultimate goal. Here they are. Fear God. Follow Christ. He's your role model. Find grace. Find the grace in everything. Feast on the Word. When these ultimate goals are placed before us, we may find that we are progressing nicely, or we may find that we are willfully, perhaps willfully, missing the mark. Finally, we have the good will of wisdom. That's what God wishes for us. He says, the proverb writer says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. That is, to not pay the debt that's yours, and not to be grateful, and to express gratitude, and to demonstrate it when it is in your power to do it. That is, don't throw it away, rather use it wisely. Bless someone with some of it. Don't use it all for yourself. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. That is, don't think twice, rather give hilariously. And do not withhold as your own that which God has given you in the first place. The help needed won't be relevant tomorrow, and the opportunity to be a blessing will be gone forever. That's why you don't withhold it. Be led by the Spirit, be spontaneous, ready at all times to meet urgent needs, Titus 3:14. To do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith, Galatians 6:10. Verse 29, do not devise harm against your neighbor. That means don't talk about him, don't gossip or malign him or slander him. As well as set booby traps for him. Do not devise harm against your neighbor while he lives securely beside you. Don't make your neighbor want to move away from you by your snooty or snotty or discomforting, even unfriendly attitudes and actions. Do not return evil or insults or do anything that makes you an undesirable neighbor. That's not wise to do that, because you're only hurting yourself. Verse 30, do not contend with a man without cause. That is, start a fight. If he has done you no harm. There may be a time when conflict arises, but don't look for or pick a fight. Rather, overlook small things and dwell peacefully, and even pray for those who would despitefully use you. I got some work to do in this realm. Do you? Wisdom toward the wicked. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. Don't envy what people have, because how they got it, what they did to others to get it, was either unkind or even violent, disregarding the well-being of others. That is, in order to have gain, or in order to have one's own way. Don't use the methods of the world to gain wealth, shake people down. God will supply your every need by his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, you know. Philippians 4:19. Not just for Paul, for you too. God will repay and replenish any losses that you incur. So be on your way by wisdom. You can't afford to be entangled in earthly affairs that interfere with your mission here on earth. Don't. Stay focused. Verse 32, for the devious are an abomination to the Lord, but he is intimate with the upright. The devious deviate from the prescribed course, from the narrow gate and the straight path. They turn aside from the course that is set before them. Knowing the right way, they choose their own way. It's a way that seems right to them, but it's not right. It ends in death. Knowing the right way, they choose their own way, which displeases God, dishonors Jesus Christ. There's only one path that leads to life. And I have to tell you, few will be that find it. In a room this size, there's some to find it, some that will find it, some won't. Just make sure you're counted among those who do. That's Matthew 7:14 and Luke 10:2. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Though he scoffs at the scoffers, yet he gives grace to the afflicted. He certainly does do that. You know, like James 4:6. He resists the arrogant believer, but gives grace to the humble believer. The believer who does not grow in the grace, I'll remind you, will groan in disgrace when he stands before the evaluation of the Bema of Christ. Matthew 13:12, for whoever has, to him more shall be given. And he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken away from him. So don't forget that. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And finally, the will of wisdom. The will of wisdom is the wise will inherit honor, but fools display dishonor. The wise child, proven wise and prudent, is given charge of the deceased parent's estate. That's the inheritance, see? Were the unwise son given charge, surely there would be gross misuse, misappropriation. Christ, who is the beneficiary, shares his inheritance with the wise. Those who fear God, follow Christ, find grace, and feast on the word. If you're wise, that's how you live. And they will have the rewards of wisdom and shine very brightly as those who reflect the glory of wisdom, personified even as Jesus Christ is that and does that. And then finally, Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Forever and ever is a long time. That's what's important. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you if you would get ready. And my ushers would come, please. Father, bless the offering today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.